Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Today's Issues on American Family Radio. It's already June the 17th, and it's already 2020. Where did the decades go? Ed Battagliano joins me. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Tim.
I promise no ethnic Italian pizza jokes.
Yeah.
No mafia jokes. Nothing for me today. I'm being completely PC.
Nothing about shirts with palm trees on them.
No, I kind of like this shirt, don't you, Fred?
Yes.
Fred Jackson.
You know, Florida, Miami. It reminds you of Miami. That's where all the mobsters go on vacation. I brought it up.
You brought it up. Kind of summerish.
Yeah.
Your dad lives down there.
I'm following in your footsteps. Not today. You started wearing a lot
of
these.
Some Hawaiian type.
I need to start going casual.
More cash.
Yeah.
Your dad lives down there.
Yes.
South Florida.
He and his
somewhere.
Wife live in the Boca Raton area.
So when you go to Florida to be in the Florida way, I'm hearkening back to a Jerry Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Where you go at 3:00 in the afternoon to have dinner because the seniors get a special rate.
So now you're making fun of my 91-year-old former Marine father. Okay.
No, I asked when you go down
there.
Because
he's in bed by 6:00, you know.
Now, your dad is amazing. I met him a couple
times. And he still goes to the – well, he doesn't go to the gym now because it's still closed.
Did he do ballroom dancing or something?
Yeah, ballroom dancing. I'm just saying. I hope I have his genes.
And he's 90.
He's 90, 91.
That's incredible.
He'll be 92 in August.
That's wonderful.
A few days after my birthday.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, Tim, you did mention the date, so I thought Ed was going to ask Brent how many shopping days to Christmas, because we might as well start it now.
It is. It is June. I mean, and
I know.
So stores that are open, we'll start putting out some of them.
Cracker Barrel.
Is Cracker Barrel
They'll
pre-opened?
Put out their Christmas stuff in the next couple of
Hobby
weeks.
Oh, Hobby Lobby will be there, too.
Yeah.
You
can buy your Christmas tree a couple of weeks from now.
I'm telling you, I'm kind of wondering, since 2020 has been such a bad year already, what if Christmas doesn't come in 2020? No Christmas.
Mm.
It's like something out of the Grinch.
Mm. Guys, it's 191 days till Christmas.
191 days until Christmas. Well, folks, you better get busy.
I would say most men don't worry about number of Christmas shopping days till about December 23rd.
Yeah.
that's true.
How late do you open? Amazon, how long can you take
how
to get
quickly
that
can you get that here?
No. It can't be the 26th. Then it'll appear like I waited till the last minute to buy it.
That's right.
I don't care how much it costs me. I need this overnight.
Oh, my word. Okay, well, we thank you for joining us. If you want to join us on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube, type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there. We live video stream, and we also post the stories on our Facebook page, Today's Issues, that we discuss, so you can have access to the information yourself that we where we get a basis for our stories. Also, you can use the podcast. Thousands of people are accessing the podcast of this show every week. So you can get where they get that. The AFR.net, right?
AFR.net.
Yeah, you can subscribe to the podcast at AFR.net. AFR.net. Abraham Hamilton III, the ever popular, will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Fred, what do you got leading off to this morning?
Remember when the whole pandemic story really broke, I guess back early March, the early warnings were about people 65 and older. And concern was expressed particularly about people in nursing homes. You may remember that. People living in nursing homes represent just 0.6% of the entire United States population. 0.6%. There have now been about 115,000 deaths in America. due to the pandemic, they say. Now listen to this. Despite the fact that the nursing home people only represent 0.6% population, 40% of the COVID deaths have been people living in nursing homes. Over 50,000 of our American citizens living in nursing homes have died. The story that is being dealt with this morning is this. And Congressman Steve Scalise, Republican from Louisiana, is on top of this and is demanding an investigation. He's been on the air as late as this morning. He names at least five states in particular, all of them run by Democratic governors, who allegedly, and according to Congressman Scalise, ignored directives from the Centers for Disease Control that when an elderly person was diagnosed with the virus, they were not to be sent back to the nursing homes. And what Congressman Scalise is investigating is why. And he names the governor of Pennsylvania, Governor Wolf, I believe it is, Governor Cuomo of New York, Governor Whitmer of Michigan. He says in all five of those cases, and there's two more, I think New Jersey and one more, in all five of those cases.
Is it Washington State, maybe the other one?
It may be. But in all five of those cases, those governors, despite what the directives that were there, they allowed elderly people living in nursing homes, once diagnosed, to be sent back. They didn't stop hospitals from doing that. And the belief is that because of ignoring that directive, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of senior citizens who died.
Now, you mentioned these governors like Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania and Governor Whitmer, who's just insanely popular in Michigan. Just kidding. Mm. What were Governor Cuomo? He took a lot of flack for the scandal, really, of what he did in terms of nursing homes, making these COVID-19 patients go back into the nursing home despite the obvious existential threat to the others who were healthy there. What was their rationale for doing this?
I don't know. I remember Governor Cuomo early on, and these other governors were told they had to do everything to mitigate the possibility that hospitals would be overwhelmed.
Yes.
On life support equipment,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. So there is a belief that rather than have those individuals stay in hospital, we will just send them back to nursing homes. Now, what was in their heart? I don't know. I want to play you a little bit of Congressman Scalise from the interview on Fox and Friends this morning. This is cut number 5. He's talking about this.
You've got somebody COVID positive. You don't send them back to a nursing home if the nursing home can't properly isolate and take care of them. And yet that's the mandate that these governors gave in violation of federal guidelines. I've asked that we bring those governors in and ask them to explain why they violated the guidelines. And it gave these mandates that ended up killing thousands of seniors in each of their states. We're talking about tens of thousands of seniors who should not have died. Over 40% of COVID deaths in America came from nursing homes, and nursing homes only represent about 0.6% of the American population. So clearly there was a major problem. It's a major scandal. We've got to get to the bottom of it. Some of these governors, by the way, are still doing it. In Michigan, they're still doing this. Some of the states hid the data from us, and we're trying to get that data out there for the public to see.
Well, I can tell you this, even if these governors refuse to come before Congress at a hearing to explain themselves, they'll have to explain it in court, or
yes,
somebody will, because
mm-hmm.
there'll be tons of lawsuits
as this
information gets out.
This information gets out. Can you imagine the families of these dear folks who now are being told, and it doesn't seem to be in dispute, Congressman Scalise used the word mandate, that the governors allowed this, told nursing homes, told hospitals, this is what you do. You send them back into nursing homes, despite the fact of knowing that the nursing homes did not have the facilities, the equipment necessary to make sure that these dear folks were isolated until they could be properly treated for
this. I'm not sure you actually can isolate people in nursing homes, but I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that you're going to have staff who goes into this room.
Yeah.
What do you need? They're going to have to go into the next room. You can't just have a staff member take care of, you know, this person and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have the funds for that kind of thing. It sounds to me like, and we'll have to wait to see, because this will come out in court, is basically the attitude is it's just old people. It's just old people. They're going to die anyway. Put them back in the nursing home. You can't infect younger people.
Yeah. Wow. Well, if that was the heart, if that's what's at the heart of these governors,
but what else could it, realistically, what else could it be? Because why should people in nursing homes be infected rather than people in hospitals?
Yeah.
Well, because the people in nursing homes are already old.
Boy.
Well, but you're saying that 40+% of all deaths in the U.S. from the coronavirus are in nursing homes?
Correct.
Wow. I mean, that's terribly...
That's 50,000 deaths.
Yeah, terribly sad for the reasons you all mentioned. Also, you got to remember people were not allowed to visit their relatives in the nursing homes. Remember those tragic pictures of people greeting grandma from the, or great-grandma from the window?
Well, I talked to my wife about going to see her mom, and they don't allow that. The only time they allowed that was on Mother's Day. You can't just go down anytime you want and talk. She can't go to talk to her mother through the window on a regular day. It was just Mother's Day. So there's no way for people to go in most of these nursing homes.
But it also says to me this is not this coronavirus. It suggests, at least, this is not as potent with the general public if 40% of all the deaths were in nursing homes. You know,
with 0.6%, less than a percent of the population.
That says to me that the elderly, I guess, is a relative term, but because there are 91-year-olds who do ball dancing.
Right.
Okay, so by elderly, I mean people maybe who are already infirmed or sickly or have some kind of underlying condition because of their age. Again, this is, and if we don't have a spike, I'm waiting for a spike across the country in these places that had these mass protests the last couple of weeks.
Right.
I don't know if we've seen any numbers on that, if that's actually coming to pass or not. Again, if that doesn't come to pass, because you had people out shoulder to shoulder, sweat to sweat, people yelling, screaming, protesting. And if you don't see spikes in the numbers of coronavirus infections, by that I mean, you know, especially hospitalizations, then that will, again, say that maybe, no, it will say they were wrong. By they, I mean the experts on saying that this, of course, which may lead us to the next story, because if it's President Trump having rallies, then the virus knows that.
Yes.
Who said that, Fred?
Well, Ari Fleischer was on Hannity last night, and that's going to be cut number three, Brent. But he said, you know, if what the media is telling us is true or not telling us, the media is not concerned about the virus being passed along during the big demonstrations that we're seeing, the big protests. But over the last 48 hours, the media is growing really concerned about the president's big rally in Tulsa this coming Saturday night. So Ari Fleischer goes on Hannity last night, and he said, could it be that the virus is really smart?
Is that what we're about to hear?
That's what you're about to hear.
Sean, what you're missing is a study of liberal public health administrators and scientists has shown that COVID knows the cause. And if the cause is good, COVID will go around it. It won't infiltrate it. It won't affect anybody. But if the cause is bad, the virus knows it, and it'll just get those people. But I hope people do stand back and realize the damage that public health officials have done to themselves when they say that there are certain protests that are meritorious, therefore go ahead and engage them, and we will not chide you for going out and violating social distancing. but we will if we don't like your cause. This is a terrible injustice, and it's not what public health people should be doing.
He's exactly right. I mean, it is so obvious, the bias. And I think I told you guys earlier in the week, I was at the gym on Monday night, and they had CNN up there on the screen. And all of a sudden, they returned to the spike in virus cases across the country. And I've been dealing with the protests all weekend, you know, go out there covering these friends of ours, you know, right. Talking about CNN out there protesting. But all of a sudden on Monday, when it got confirmed that the president was going to hold this rally in Tulsa on Saturday night, oh, let's go back to the pandemic numbers here.
Right.
And we're gravely concerned.
You know, it's so obvious that everybody knows it, right? The left and the right. We know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. So, you know, don't.
Well, and we're talking about, yes, I know that a million people asked for tickets to the Trump rally, but the venue only holds like 19,000, right?
Yeah.
This protest, was it in New York City or was it in D.C. With the Black Trans
New
Lives
York, Brooklyn.
Matter? That was Brooklyn. Okay. This was like a 500,000 people or some huge number of people who would come in there to protest. Not a peep.
Nope.
About social distancing. You saw the pictures. The place was just covered over.
Yeah, the marches in Philadelphia, there were probably 100,000 people or more there, what I saw. That was last week for the Black Lives Matter march. So, yeah, President Trump just needs to go on with his rallies as planned. And I know they're going to take temperatures. I don't know how that's going to work exactly. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We reached a point now where people can – everybody knows – the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows how this is spread, except for the CDC and the World Health Organization. But so, you know, go at your own risk or don't. It's up to everybody to decide for themselves. You know, that's the way I look at it. Almost on everything.
Right.
Seems to me, except maybe for institutions like. Nursing homes where we know how devastating this can be and how quickly it can spread. And also you are interfering with other people's family members.
Right.
It isn't just a decision for yourself or your family. You're listening to Today's Issues, the name of the show here on American Family Radio. And if you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Fred Jackson. Now you guys, I know this wasn't in our story list to cover, but have you guys, last night I was seeing, you guys seen this story about the dust from the Sahara Desert is making its way across the Atlantic Ocean. I'm not kidding. Making its way across the Atlantic Ocean is going to affect the U.S. South. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Mm.
Saharan dust heading to the Gulf Coast.
Now, let me just say first, my understanding is that most of the tropical storms that eventually hit the U.S. or come in this area.
Come off the African coast.
Yes. Mm. So I can see where that might happen.
So they call them trade winds.
Okay.
And it says dust from the Sahara Desert is riding the trade winds west across the Atlantic Ocean and will reach the Gulf Coast next week, of the Gulf Coast of the U.S. It's just going to be... So I don't remember this happening in my lifetime.
Well, I don't remember hearing about it. If it has happened, I just never knew.
Hold on just a second. Democrats are blaming the Trump administration for not doing enough to
now
stop.
Now that I have heard.
Stop this from coming into the U.S. I am serious about that. I don't know how it's going to affect what it's going to look like exactly, but they're going to say we're going to know it.
What are the possible weather effects of that? Is actually cooler temperatures. I remember when Mount St. Helens blew.
Right.
What happens is there's so much dust gets in the air, and I'm not sure it'll be to this extent, but the dust reflects back the sunlight into the atmosphere, and it cooled the temperatures down below. So. Maybe gives you a cooler summer. I don't.
Don't tease me, Fred. Don't tease me about a cooler summer.
Well, you know what? So far, I think I'm speaking about most of the country, but certainly we here in the Deep South have mm-hmm. not experienced the humidity.
No, it's been great.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. So, yeah. But as I told Fred, as he was walking across the street and we were talking about the delightful weather, I said, you know, July is coming, right, Fred?
Yeah, it is.
Whether we can't talk it away, can't act like it doesn't come. Mm. All right, you're listening to Today's Issue, but they said most of this, the sand, or the dust, I guess you could say, will be in the upper atmosphere, but still it will affect the sun and mm-hmm. well, not the sun itself, but you know, the sunlight coming in.
Mm-hmm. The Saharan air layer, Sal. That's what they call it. So this must be a thing they're aware of. This dry dust plume commonly forms from late spring through early fall. Well,
I wasn't making that up.
You were making it up.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't making it.
Can contribute to hazy skies at times during the summer.
Yeah,
in Florida and the U.S. Gulf Coast.
Yeah, you tell me G5's not having an impact on our world.
5G, you mean the 5G?
That too. All of it combined.
That's right. They're trying to get in our head.
All right, Fred, next story.
Yes, well, the president, big announcement yesterday.
Did I say G5?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. That's okay.
You meant like G7 or G8.
It's supposed to be, yes. Yeah. I was supposed to say.
5G.
5G.
See, they're already in your head, Tim.
Yeah.
These 5G towers, they're not fooling me. I know what they're trying to do.
What is the deal with that for the people who think, is it because they're made in China and they think they're spying on us with them or something?
It's they're putting up new towers for 5G, for speed. It's going to increase speed for all your portable devices. But there's like these conspiracy theories tied to it. Now, there is a company that in China that it has been, you know, working on this technology, but there's also companies from elsewhere. But the conspiracy theory is that the New World Order kind of people are going to use this to program our minds or what have you. I've heard all kinds of wacky conspiracy theories.
Sounds like a movie I'd want to see. Huh?
Or would you? Or would you want to see it? There haven't been any movies about it, Tim, which could mean that the New World Order is trying to keep us unaware of what they're planning to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can kind of tell where you fall down on this. next thing you're going to tell me is Bigfoot's not real.
No.
Huh?
So next week, Ed will show up with his Hawaiian shirt and tinfoil on his head.
Tinfoil hats no longer work. This is 5G, Fred. Keep up. Keep up, will you? The technology.
All right, my apologies for G5. That's some kind of economic meeting that was that's supposed to take place.
President Trump kicked a couple countries out.
I'm not going if they're there.
You're not coming. You're banned.
President Trump's going to announce today, I've just reduced the G7 to G5. All right, Fred, I'm sorry I interrupted your next story.
I don't know whether we have time, Mr. Tim, to...
I could go on till the break.
Quit while you're ahead.
Quit while... I'll sneak this one in, okay. And maybe we'll try the other one a little bit later on. But Seattle Police Chief declares that no part of the city is cop-free. Now, this is after a business owner, his business there in that shop area...
Yeah.
Attacked. They break in. They do all kinds of damage. Yeah, the cops did show up. It's a half-truth here. But you know what? They stood back and let the protesters do what they wanted to do. So she says it's not cop-free, but it's just that I've ordered them not to do anything. Now, that's what's happening in Seattle.
Well, you know what? I agree with those who say... first of all, I'm getting bored with this story, okay? No offense to you, Fred. I know you had to bring it up. But let the people in Washington and Seattle handle this, you know, such that it is. It's not, to me, it's not President Trump's problem.
You get the government you deserve, don't you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
Israel forgot who the blesser was.
Really did.
America has forgotten who the blesser is. But let me say, A false god is not your source of blessing. A false god, if you don't abandon it, will be your source of downfall.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. There's been a lot of talk over the past few weeks about reforming law enforcement. I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but we need to understand that 99.9% of the police are good and decent people doing their jobs. But based on my observations, it's not the police who need reforming. It's the people they're assigned to protect and serve. So I'd like to offer a few ideas on how to reform the American public. For example, when you see the blue lights flashing, pull over. Don't speed up. When an officer instructs you to do something, you do it. Don't punch the cop in the face. Don't throw a Molotov cocktail in the patrol car. When protesting, don't hurl rocks or bottles at the police. Fast food workers, don't spit in the burgers or spike the milkshakes. And if you get arrested, invoke your right to remain silent. Don't try to escape and never, ever try to steal the police officer's taser. Just remember, your life matters, but so does that police officer's. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, good morning, everybody, again. Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Abbott Tagliano and Fred Jackson. As always, we thank you for listening to AFR, American Family Radio. Abraham Hamilton III joins us now. Abe is our general counsel here at AFA. He is a public policy analyst for us as well. And he hosts the Hamilton Corner each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time here on AFR, so be sure to join Abe each weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 o'clock. How you doing, my friend?
Doing well.
I'm doing well. We're having a good day so far. You do know the dust is coming over from the Saharan Desert, right? Going to be here. You know about this?
No, I didn't know about that.
We found out today.
We reported it here on Today's Issues because a lot of media is not covering it.
The dust is coming to America from the Saharan Desert?
From the trade winds.
I'm not kidding.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. And President Trump's not doing squat. I say he's not doing. I'm normally a supporter, but the man is not doing anything about this dust coming over. And the Democrats will rightly call him on it pretty soon.
Well, Alicia on Facebook says, I looked up the dust cloud, and I believe it happens every year. And then John says, let's take bets. I know John. Let's take bets on what did President Trump do to cause that Saharan dust to come here. And then somebody here, I was looking, some. Oh, okay. And Christine said, now we'll have to build the dust wall.
So good one, Christine.
We have some pretty sharp people.
I like it.
Get Mexico to pay for it, I think. That's what we need to do. Well, it wouldn't be Mexico's fault.
No.
Who could block it out there for us? Maybe the Greater Antilles or something like that?
Somebody out there in the Caribbean.
Yeah, no. They should block it for us.
Go down to Puerto Rico and sweat up a big fan.
blow it back.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the kind of information we bring daily during this hour and a half to better change our world. Our world for the better, I should say. Well, I got everything backwards today. G5 in it. Abe, you want to stay on with us, or you got better things to do?
He came prepared. He's got the Boston all right, decision all highlighted. And
let's set this up, as depressing as it is.
I was just thinking, do we really want to do this?
I know. All right. Well, sometimes you got to. You know, the good, bad, and the ugly, as they say.
Well, it's bad and ugly.
Okay. All right. Well, let's make it brief then. Okay. Give us about a 30-second analysis of how the country's going down the tubes. All right. We want to pretend it isn't. All right. So, what we got here, just to set this up, we had a Supreme Court decision announced. We had several, actually, announced on Monday.
Monday.
And what was the case that we're talking about here? What is the case that we're talking about here today? We've asked you to analyze for us.
Well, it's not just one case. It's everything the Supreme Court did Monday. And when you take this one case and you put it within the context of the rest of what the Supreme Court did, there's a clear communication for our country. And I'll explain what I mean. So first off, the Bostic opinion that was issued on Monday actually includes three different cases. The fundamental issue that was merged into one opinion is whether or not the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibits discrimination on five immutable characteristics, on the basis of five immutable characteristics, those are race, color, religion, national origin. Just forgot the other one.
Sex.
That's right. That's the main one.
Religion.
And sex.
Okay.
Yeah. Race, color, religion, national origin, and sex. The issue is whether or not the word sex, as drafted in 1964, includes the recent concepts of gender identity and sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court ruled that the Civil Rights Act of 1964, a majority of the Supreme Court, with the opinion written by Justice Neil Gorsuch, concluded that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 does include sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes within the ambit of the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Even after admitting, Neil Gorsuch admitted, that a normal average reading, a dictionary definition reading of what Congress meant in 1964 was that sex referred to male and female.
It did.
And he went so far as to say it's not his fault that the legislators in 1964 weren't smart enough to understand what they were doing. He literally said that. And he said that he attempted to present, his opinion because he wrote it, but he was joined by Chief Justice John Roberts, Sonia Sotomayor, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that's Darth Bader if you don't know, that's what I call her.
Darth Bader.
Stephen Breyer and Elena Kagan. 6-3, they all joined in that opinion. And Justice Samuel Alito had a lot of interesting comments to say, but this one kind of sticks out in my opinion. He wrote in his dissent, which was joined by Justice Clarence Thomas, and Justice Kavanaugh wrote his own dissent. But Justice Alito said, quote, "The court attempts to pass off its decision as the inevitable product of the textualist school of statutory interpretation championed by our late colleague Justice Scalia. But no one should be fooled. The court's opinion is like a pirate ship. It sails under a textualist flag, but what it actually represents is a theory of statutory interpretation that Justice Scalia excoriated, the theory that courts should update old statutes so that they better reflect the current values of society." He went on to say, if the courts find it appropriate to adopt this theory, it should own up to what it is doing. And he cited Alito cited Justice Posner from the Seventh Circuit, who is known for saying the Constitution means what us justices say it means. We don't need to be beholden to history, to the actual text of the document.
Justice Alito quoted him?
He cited him because Posner said in an earlier opinion, quote, I would prefer to see us acknowledge openly that today we who are judges rather than members of Congress are imposing on a half-century-old statute a meaning of sex discrimination that the Congress that enacted it would not have accepted.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Posner said.
Yeah.
So Alito was saying, admit it. If you're doing that, admit it. But they refused to admit it and saying they're doing it as a textualist.
I tell you.
But what they really did is just amend the civil rights law to include what 45 prior attempts have failed in Congress to do. But the justices said, no problem, we'll do it for you, Congress.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the practical implications of that and what that may mean, especially to Christians in the U.S., well, Jews too, Muslims for that matter too, just people who have a religious objection to homosexuality or transgendered behavior. But first of all, I got to say, Neil Gorsuch has committed adultery against
that is a perfect analogy.
He's been caught cheating. He wasn't caught. He raised his hand and said, I'm cheating here, because this is a kick in the stomach or a punch in the nose from a guy that President Trump selected as one of the most, as a very conservative, that's been his history, that's been his record. So the president is not to be at fault, is not at fault on this in any regard, in any way. He only went with recommendations of the Federalist Society, which is a very reputable conservative attorney group. So we supported Neil Gorsuch. We here at AFA and as did all conservatives across the country. And he has committed adultery against us. And there's no other way. This is a sin that will never be forgiven. And he may have he may do great the rest of his career, but this is not a good sign. And there's nothing we can do about it. That's why it's so demoralizing, quite frankly. If something is as like this, you just almost don't want to talk about it anymore because there's nothing you can do about it, because the Supreme Court is the highest court in the land, and Neil Gorsuch is not going anywhere, nor are any of the other justices. So, you know, we're going to have to learn to live with it for now until something may change. But I don't know what's going to change exactly now. If I haven't been encouraging enough for you right there, wait, there's more. No, but let's change from what happened with this ruling and the real disappointment in Neil Gorsuch, and talk about what are the practical implications for us, for Christians in the country.
What, including us here at AFA.
Yeah, I mean, you have the court ruling what has failed to pass for decades now, the Employment Non-Discrimination
Act. You mean pass in Congress?
In Congress, right.
Okay, which is where this should be handled.
Yes.
If that 1964 civil rights law is going to be changed to include men who want to dress up like women.
Congress is the place to do
it. Or LGBT, okay, which I'm sure it would have passed. Especially the LGBT part of it probably would have passed, but I don't know that for sure. It could have been
eventually. You're
could have been vetoed. Could have been blocked in the Senate because it does have real world confrontations with religious freedom, which is
definitely
in the First Amendment of the Constitution. There's nothing in the First Amendment of the Constitution about LGBTQ, RSTUV, but there is about the First Amendment and religious freedom. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and so some of the practical implications, and I've made the statement, this is ENDA provided by the court, but it will be applied as if it is the Equality Act. Because right now as it stands, the Supreme Court has mutually conflicting provisions of the Civil Rights Act.
Now please, VII, I know I'm interrupting, but I don't think people know what ENDA is what the Equality Act is or why those two things are different. So just elaborate briefly.
The ENDA is the Employment Non-Discrimination Act that has been proposed to Congress. Congress has refused to pass it numerous times. That literally said that sexual orientation and gender identity need to be added as additional classes of protected categories of people in the country under the civil rights law. The Equality Act is the application of the additional categories of sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes in the entire scope of civil rights law. Housing, you know, voting, all civil rights law would have an additional two criteria for protected class status. And so what I'm saying is that the opinion itself, the letters on the page are limited to the employment context. It will be applied in every context. So some of the practical considerations. Immediately, Title VII, which prohibits discrimination, is immediately in conflict with Title IX, which established, for example, women's sports. They are directly in contrast with one another because the Supreme Court's ruling literally can be construed as to say a woman is not one who is determined biologically.
Hmm.
So, poor young ladies in Connecticut, you have no claim because these women are participating in women's sports. All they may be biologically male.
And let me add here, it's not going to be just Connecticut now.
Right.
This is coming to a high school near you. It's only a matter of time.
And college and professional sports.
It's only a matter of time, but you're going to have boys. Biological boys, I don't know the kind of boy you can have, but anyway, playing
girls' sports.
Playing girls' sports and being told you have to let them.
Yes.
Because, or you're discriminating.
Because they claim to be girls.
Yes. That's one of the practical implications of, that doesn't even have anything to do with religious freedom, but that's on its way.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's here.
Religious liberty of citizens who are Christians who may own businesses, just like the owners of the Harris Funeral Home in Michigan, you will no longer be able to operate your business consistent with your convictions.
What happened in that Michigan case is appalling. And this is what Neil Gorsuch, he condoned this. Am I right?
You're absolutely right.
What happened in Michigan, folks, and what happened in Michigan is you have this funeral home, and a guy's been working with them for 5 years or whatever it was.
They hired him. He had been working there 2 years. And in year three, he said, you hired me as a guy, but now I want to be a woman.
Right. And the company said, that isn't who we hired. We hired a guy to work here to do this. We didn't hire a guy who says he's a girl and all the implications of that. So you can understand that employer would say, we don't want a man dressed up like a woman representing our company. Specifically
within the context of serving grieving families. Yes. You have people who are mourning the loss of loved ones. The funeral home owner says, we endeavor to be a Christ-centered funeral home.
Let me ask you this, just an aside here. In a lot of states, like the one we live in here in Mississippi, you can fire somebody for any reason. You don't have to tell them why. Now, does that not apply?
Well, now there's a question. Because if you have a person who, even if you're in an at-will state, and you have an employee.
That's what you call what I just described?
Yeah, that's what you described. An at-will state, meaning that you can have a termination. You don't have to provide a justify or reason. If the person believes or thinks or says they have a reason to say that Fred Jackson terminated me because I got hired as a man, but now I'm a woman, and he won't tell me, but I believe he fired me because of this, because I worked for him for all of these years, and it wasn't until I started coming to work with my skirt on that I got terminated, then I would have a cause of action against Fred Jackson.
Okay, so it opens up a possibility for a lot of lawsuits. What I think is going to happen is you're going to have a hidden Christian ministries and schools and universities and churches and parachurches are going to continue if they already had a conviction, biblical conviction about not having people on their staffs that live in a way contrary to their beliefs are going to continue with that, because to do otherwise is just to surrender your faith, basically. So I don't know how this is going to practically, the court has imposed this on them with this decision. So no, you have to. Did they try to split the baby at all here?
No.
I thought there was a paragraph.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah. The majority opinion was 33 pages. On page 32 of 33, Justice Gorsuch and the majority gave lip service to religious liberty. And you may have a First Amendment defense, and you may find some protection under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, but we're not deciding any of that here and now.
In fact, he said that will await future cases.
Future cases. It's an invitation
yes.
for additional litigation. So what I'm saying is, and I know there are other people who disagree with me on this, but I do not share the optimism that the Supreme Court will see it within their beneficence to uphold religious liberty. Because as it stands right now, they're basically saying bigotry will only be allowed if you're a religious organization or a church. How long do you expect that to persist? If you can go 32 pages before you mention religious liberty and even mention that the funeral home owner was a Christian and had some First Amendment concerns, but you don't raise him to page 32 of 33, how am I supposed to be encouraged that you will be intentional about upholding the protection of the First Amendment in our country?
All right. So a lot of how this plays out is yet to be determined. But if you go by the Supreme Court's decision on Monday, led by Neil Gorsuch, they legislated from the Supreme Court bench. This is what Senator Josh Hawley, who had a speech in the well of the Senate about this from Missouri, and that guy's turning to be a rock star.
Yes, he is.
For our causes, certainly, and for constitutional issues. But some of this remains to be seen how it's all going to play out. But the ship's been put on a course to override or overrun the founding of this country, which was the First Amendment, religious freedom, religious liberty. But we'll see.
That's not all. I don't know if you want to get more depressed.
But what else you got?
Within 35 minutes of releasing the Bostic opinion, the Supreme Court also denied certiorari to several other cases, which means that they refused to hear several other cases. One of them was in a case called U.S. versus California, where the Department of Justice was appealing a Ninth Circuit decision that says, California, you can't make yourself a sanctuary state. You cannot refuse to obey federal immigration law. The state of California makes it illegal for their law enforcement officers to convey to the federal authorities that they're illegal aliens in their custody. The Supreme Court refused to hear that case.
Why?
They didn't explain why. They just rejected the case, did not explain it. And here's the thing, that in order for the Supreme Court to hear a case, it only takes four justices to agree. There are six Republican appointees on the court. It only takes four to agree to hear the case, not to come to a decision. It takes five to be a majority for a decision, but in order to hear the case. So you mean to tell me out of six Republican appointees, you can't find four who are willing to hear whether or not states can create a lawless immigration system?
Which means two, probably Roberts and Gorsuch, refuse to hear this case and refuse to hear cases about states that
Well, one more, because it only takes four. Because even you have Roberts and Gorsuch, you do have Thomas, Alito.
Right.
Three, Roberts, Gorsuch, and somebody else.
President Trump's been betrayed.
Yes. And it's not only that. Let me say this one, and I'll get out of the way. There was also a Second Circuit, 10 different groups with a Second Circuit case. There's one guy in New Jersey. He services ATM machines. And he does in some of the most high crime areas in the state of New Jersey. So he appealed to the state of New Jersey to get a concealed carry permit. The state of New Jersey said, if you want to exercise your Second Amendment rights, you have to prove, give me evidence that you need it. Which means that the state of New Jersey is requiring him to report that he's been beaten, shot, stabbed, or what, maybe even killed, in order for them to say, okay, you can carry a gun. And the Supreme Court refused to hear those cases either.
Right.
Wow. So you have immigration. Well, in this case, we do have a dissent from Justice Thomas explaining that he believes that they're just cowards and they're opposed to the exercise of the Second Amendment in the country.
His colleagues?
Yes, his colleagues on the bench.
What does this mean, though, Abe? I mean, so you got this groupthink now going in the United States Supreme Court, despite who nominated them, Republican or otherwise. But the groupthink in our legal community now is we're taking over from legislatures. We are going to decide the shape of this country, the thinking of this country, what is legal, what is not. Instead of deciding on law, we are just going to declare, because we have all this power, which was what Josh Hawley, I believe, was alluding to in his speech in the Senate yesterday. You now have judges who honestly believe you can't touch us, and we're going to use this power.
Well, you can't. That's true. They do have absolute power.
You can't touch us. We're going to use this power to change this country, and if I might extrapolate from that, we're going to use our power to carry out Barack Obama's dream. Change the country, change the world.
Fundamentally change it.
If I could inject some good news here, okay? Because that was, okay, let me just say this. Let me just say this to everybody who's wondering, what's the point? Why do I even want to vote for president if this is going to happen? Well, number one, the president is more than appointing judges. It's control of the executive branch of the federal government. So that is extremely important. Extremely important. It means who controls the Department of Justice, or basically who appoints people there. Instead of William Barr, you have somebody, a far lefty in there. So it does matter. That's okay. Number one, it does still does matter very much. Foreign policy, who the president of the United States is. Who the president of the United States is. Now, number two, the Supreme Court only hears 2-3% of all the cases that are brought before them. Okay? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So that I'm saying 97% of all cases in the are handled at the federal appellate court level or below. That means whoever the president appoints makes are the judges. So the president has appointed a historic number, 170, 180, 190, how many?
Yeah.
Federal judges. Yeah. And the vast, vast majority of them are solid constitutional judges. You're going to have some bad apples along the way, like Neil Gorsuch, for example, who made it to the Supreme Court. Neil Gorsuch may do great for the rest of his career, but as I say, he just committed the unforgivable sin, as far as I'm concerned, with this one. But there's nothing you can do about it. He's not going anywhere. So you just have to hope that he makes good decisions the rest of the way out. How long that is for him, who knows? Only God knows. But I'm just saying to you folks that it still does matter who the president is, despite the fact that we have some bad rulings here from the Supreme Court or refusing to rule. What's really concerning to me about the Justice Thomas dissent on the Second Amendment case was basically he's calling out his fellow Supreme Court justices as cowards. And I think he's on this issue. I think he's speaking specifically to Roberts and Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. And, well, he wouldn't be speaking to himself. Anyway, the potential five conservatives, I know they're not really.
Alito.
Is because, and it's turning out to me that Alito and
Thomas. Alito was with him on this.
Okay.
So it's Roberts.
Alito and Thomas are the rock solid, count on them, conservatives on the Supreme Court. But he's saying it's too much of a hot potato. You don't even want to handle it, the Second Amendment. That's what he's saying, right?
Yeah, and it's a ridiculous hot potato because he said we had an opportunity here to declare that the right to keep and bear arms, which shall not be infringed, allows the right to public carry. Right now we have a Heller decision that says that you can carry in your home. He said the founders didn't intend for us to be able to carry from our bedrooms to our kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not what the Second Amendment was meant to protect. But as it stands now, that is what the Supreme Court has announced, and is all.
I don't think we need to have lunch with Abe today. Let's wait for another day, okay?
I love you guys, but I got to tell you the truth.
We need to let him eat alone at Subway today. I'm just teasing. All right, thank you, Brother Abe.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Abe will be on this afternoon. We will be back momentarily with more of today's issues on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.